And it's also the first day, so you're expecting that they won't just all have some fucking orgy in the sand.
Your mama is so fat that she left the house in high heels and came back wearing flip-flops.
AFI.
Came back.
Backstage stories.
Nice one, man. Okay, cool. How was your day so far?
Easy. I'm working on a new podcast logo, not for our podcast because we...
Are you cheating on me?
No, not on our logo because we get a pretty amazing logo by the amazing Guy. But for one of the M94.5 podcasts, which needs a new logo. And so basically pretty chill, sitting at my computer, listening to music and working on this thing.
You hired Geef to do the design.
No, I said this podcast does not need a new logo because we got an amazing logo by Geef, but I am building a new logo for another M94.5 podcast.
Okay, now I understand. I was like, oh, that's so cool that you got him for another project. Yeah, I really love our logo. I think that was like, that's... Guilherme Ataje is a guy that I really want to get on the show soon. We almost had a different kind of show today. You were almost here in my apartment, responsibly. Almost. You almost got here. You almost got in.
Almost.
But I was too quick, and I locked the door and called the police. And
first base.
Now I'm safe. Yeah, you got to first base. Yeah, but when we do that, then I think it's going to be easier to call someone. I would like to get him in. He is the partner of Sebastian Belenius, who we had on the show before as well. But Guy is like a really talented illustrator and animator, and he did the logo for this show, and he also did the whole artwork and layout for the 12 Songs for 12 Friends vinyl and CD and poster and stuff. It's really beautiful, interesting artwork, and... yeah, I'd like to get him on there. But I want to ask you a little bit about the this like 6 hour long program show you did last weekend.
On Saturday.
How did you get that gig? Did you volunteer or something?
Yeah, somehow, because I already knew. So for those who are not into this super small regional bubble, where this whole...
yeah, it's really small.
Where this whole project emerged from... in Oberstdorf, the small town where I grew up, and like just like your wife and where your family-in-law still lives, there is one club, the only club, and it's a pretty cool one, I would say. And they're struggling, like I guess many clubs, during Big Rona. And they said like, okay, we don't want to... we don't want to ask people for their money or anything, but we want to send out a sign that we're still there and that we still can deliver cool shows. And many other clubs did live streams where they just put up a GoPro and filmed the DJ. And I said, now we want to do it. We want to do it professional. Right. And within, I don't know, 2 weeks from this idea, they got to a point where they got professionals in any part of the production. Who
like professionals in every department of like production and media.
Yeah. And everybody volunteered, and
it's really cool, man.
And so we and cool guests, musicians, international musicians, German musicians, German famous sports guys, etc., for interviews. And they set up a 6 hour long live stream, which I had the honor to host with another guy who's working for ORF, like public broadcasting from Austria.
Oh, cool. Okay.
And it was pretty cool. It was pretty cool. Great experience for me. And it was a lot of fun because when I first got the call from Mario, who I knew before, who's the owner of the place, who runs this club. And he told me what he had in mind. I was like, okay, I know how those kind of television setups work. there's no chance they're going to make it because just because the sheer amount of budget or the sheer budget you need to set up this the studio and to get all the people together, et cetera, et cetera. But it worked out and was pretty professional when I looked at it afterwards. Looked like an actual TV show, and so it was great fun for me, great experience, and just cool to see what you can move and what you can bring together just by a bunch of volunteers who all have the same goal and who all bring in their heart and their soul to this project, which has no financial interest in it, and still deliver a very professional output. So
everybody
was pretty proud of it. And the whole idea of the live stream was that the stream would deliver 6 hours of entertainment, DJ sets, music videos from artists that played Herba before, interviews, et cetera, et cetera. And the people at home would organize barbecue parties with their families, or barbecue parties that still fit the actual corona restrictions, etc., and would post about it. And the parties who are the coolest looking, Mario would get in his old Ford truck. Maybe you've seen it before, this 70s brown Ford truck, which always is at Grubenruf's with the coffee machine in it.
Oh, yeah.
So okay. pretty stylish vehicle. And he got in this car and got the bag full of beer cases and meat and stuff for the barbecue, which they got by sponsors, and drove around the Allgäu. And the people who sent the coolest pictures or videos or the most creative ideas, he visited them and gave them free beer and food, etc., and little gifts from the sponsors. So it was pretty cool because the people had their party at home and we would deliver the entertainment for it. And it worked out pretty well.
Man, that is such a big production for a volunteer-based charity fundraiser. That's unbelievable. I mean, like the 6 hour programming alone with professional MCs and hosts, mostly professional musicians. I know some of them, one band we know does it for fun. And the editing of it, the arrangement of it, the lighting and everything, and like including the people at home to be creative and do something cool, and then get gifts in return from it from sponsors who support. I mean, it's just like what a huge success that is for a small club in Oberstdorf.
Yeah, exactly. And I guess that's why it turned out so good, because everyone at one point saw what potential lies within this project. And that is what the people were so hyped about. Look, we can do this without any budget, just by our power and what we can do as volunteers.
Yeah.
And the people seemed to like it and took part. Like there were people who had their barbecue parties in their gardens.
Yeah.
Who built pools, especially for their Herba barbecue party at home.
That's so cool. How was money raised for the bar throughout this program?
So there wasn't really money raised for the bar, only money for the guy who owns the studio and the technicians, camera guys, etc., because they put in a lot of hours and took off from work, etc. And we had an QR code within the stream,
yeah,
which you could scan with your phone and send a little something via PayPal.
Okay, so you could donate to support the production in general, but like the main return was like a friendly reminder / decent exposure for the bar to remind people that the bar will be there when this is over.
Exactly. Yeah. And to
man, amazing.
I don't know how cool it is if we get deeper into this, but they have some struggles with the city of Oberstdorf, and the whole thing is also like a statement.
How so? What do you mean?
So,
a statement of power.
A statement of power, and that because the thing is, I think I can say this.
We can always edit it if you worry about it later.
Yeah, Mario and his crew, or basically Mario, he's the guy who runs the place, and he rents the location, the Herba, from the city of Oberstdorf. And during Corona...
he doesn't own it.
And during... Yeah, because it's within the town hall. So, or in the right. Cellar of the town hall, this club, super funny story. But the city of Oberstdorf, when the whole lockdown started, would not stop the rent.
They kept asking for money even though the bar can't serve customers.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And they're still discussing it, and I think a decision is made end of this month. And this whole thing was kind of a statement like, hey, we're worthy to be supported. We're reaching so many people, people like Herba, people of any age. And that there were children who sent pictures to the streams, or parents with their children, teenagers, people in their 20s, 30s, but even people in their 60s.
Yeah.
And that's a cool thing, because that's what it was all about, sending a statement, hey, the Herba is part of this community and is relevant, and people like to go there, and there are cool things happening. Don't let this die.
Yeah.
And it was not about raising money for the Herba, but to set a statement.
Man, it's a really big, I'm almost lost for my words today. It's a big achievement to go through all of that effort with so many willing volunteers for relatively no money to support this one bar. That means that this bar really has touched, like you said, several different generations of people who, having gone there a lot or not, can support the fact that it's a popular place that mainly is for good in this town. And I forget that it's part of the town hall. But this fact that a lot of cities still charge rent to companies that can't obtain any money right now is actually a worldwide problem. In general, there's that whole, hashtag, is it cancel rent? I think is the trending hashtag for that same exact problem. So I shouldn't have been surprised at all to hear that was an issue going on for them. Does he have a plan? Do you know if Mario has a plan for when they're able to in any way kind of reopen to, limited crowds, or is there any opening in sight? Do you know?
I guess he has a plan how to restart, but we haven't talked about this too much. But the big issue is it's still totally uncertain when they will be able to reopen, because bars, etc., and places where you can sit down, those are the places you can control. But clubs are the last ones who will be allowed to reopen.
Right.
So it's still not inside.
I guess he would have if he wanted to open sooner than later, he'd have to alter what kind of situation you could walk into.
Yeah.
Because, it is, it's like you say, I've been there a few times myself, and it's really, on the weekend, it's, shoulder to shoulder. It's really packed out in there, and especially between like midnight and 4 a.m. on a good night with good music, it's really popping. And that kind of thing won't fly for a long time. But I wonder if he was like, okay, if because now there's, we talked on the last episode about going into restaurants. I wonder if he was like, okay, I'm going to put, 10 tables down and just rotate these tables out, as much as possible. But I don't know. Maybe that doesn't make financial sense for him to turn all the refrigerators back on, all the lights back on and stuff just for that.
Yeah, you gotta add to that he also, since last year, owns a little cafe in Oberstdorf, which is running again. So I guess it doesn't make that much sense to open the Herba also as a kind of restaurant or cafe or whatever.
Yeah.
But like I said, it's totally uncertain when they will be able to reopen. But since this stream worked out so good, there is the idea that if they have to be closed longer for a few more months, that we will do this more often, but then with real sponsors who not only bring in the beer supply or whatever for the people taking part, but who will spend money on it.
Yeah, that would definitely be the next. Yeah, that would have to be the next step for sure, is to bump it up to where he can actually pay his rent for, you know, 3 or 4 months more at least.
Yeah.
Well, I would have.
And that's an idea because many.
Go ahead. Sorry.
No, go on. Sorry.
You first.
Okay. No. Because many people watched, and so a lot of people were watching it, so it might be attractive for local sponsors, and they might edit a trailer out of the stream we did on Saturday for promotion, and maybe it works, and we can do it more often, and maybe there will be a Jordan Prince performance.
That was actually what I was saying. I was like, I would happily volunteer to put a song into this feed because it was so cool. And I've also, you know, Herba started these like acoustic concert sessions maybe 2 or 3 years ago. And I have to say, I played one and it was one of the greater profited concerts I had played alone at that time. It was really like, you know, I got some dinner out of it, and of course unlimited drinks, which is always nice. But also I had a place to stay, and I had really, really good money. The people tipped really well, and he really encouraged it and really pushed it, and they listened to him. They kind of respect, like, he's kind of the chief around there. And then whatever there was in the bucket, he added money from the bar on top of it, and it was even, I don't remember how much it was, but it was, I remember taking the stack of cash on the train back to Munich and just thinking, I did not expect this at all. You know, it was really great for the artist. So I would happily, you know, volunteer, you know, a performance or something to benefit that place, even though I don't go there that often, but that was a really great experience.
Yeah. That's, one thing I also heard, that they are really fair when it comes to paying artists that play there. Plus, if there is another stream, I think there's also the possibility, because we had, I don't know if you've seen this within the stream, but there has been one artist who was playing live in the studio.
Mm. No, I didn't see
with
that.
With us. And that's something I could imagine, and I think it wouldn't be too difficult to set that up. And I guess Mario would be happy to have artists.
Where were you recording from?
If there is another show.
Were you recording from the bar?
No, it was an actual studio.
I thought you guys made
which
like a
is
like
owned
a thing. Sorry, there is a little bit of a delay. I'm not trying to talk over you. Sorry.
easy. Next to Kempten, there's a guy who owns a studio which is mainly made for photographies, like family shootings, etc., or wedding shootings, I don't know. But since the lockdown started, he started to change some things around, bringing some new lights, etc., and started doing live streams. Tim has done one there. They have streamed a concert from there, Blunts and Hacking, you know, his folky project.
Is this the studio from Marcel?
Exactly.
Ah, of course I know that. Yeah, I'm supposed to do a show there this month, but I had to reschedule it, unfortunately. But yeah, okay, I know exactly what you talk about now. What you mean?
Yeah, and from that studio, we streamed the whole thing. And Marcel was part of the production.
Man, that's awesome. That's really cool that he has this whole space set up, right? Especially now. They've been doing a lot of live streams out of that spot, including your own.
Yeah. Yeah, and it was pretty professional. So I gotta say, I know professional TV studios, and this thing was not that far away from that.
Yeah, okay, that's good to know.
So pretty cool.
That's good to know. Yeah, I was excited. Tim Hecking, a good friend of ours that we've talked about before, had suggested that. So he did a live. He's a great musician, maybe one of the best I know. And he did a cool live stream concert from this really cozy, like sleepy looking studio. And I wasn't sure where it was. And he told me, I guess it's near Immenstadt, right?
Near Kempten.
Near Kempten. Okay. And he wrote me a few weeks ago suggesting that I get in touch with Marcel, the guy who in charge of it, and to do a concert. And everything was already booked, man. We had the date. I sent him the press info. He had put it on Facebook. And it was supposed to be, I think, this Saturday. Yeah, 5 days from now. But I had to move it. So I guess I'll just try. Maybe I can do that end of June or July or something. But sounds like a cool idea. Right now, I hadn't been taking many online concert suggestions or offers. There was like, I mean, I'm not saying that there was a lot, but there was just a handful. And I, for some reason, was kind of turned off from it at first. And then there was a festival. I told you about it. I think this Open Air festival that booked the artists for a home live stream instead of on the stage. And ever since I did that one, it was like, a really comfortable feeling to be able to play the songs from home. And I think I felt more comfortable to talk about the history of the songs and the details of the words behind them and like where I was when I wrote them and what they're about and stuff before doing that. These kinds of like really intimate concerts that you don't really have that same experience on a bigger stage, or at least I don't, because I think especially in Germany, I think I tend to lose some of the audience because of the language. Maybe they just want to hear the songs, and if I talk too much, then of course it can get boring. So on here, I just thought, well, I'm booked for, you know, 30 or 40 minutes here. I've got my songs. Let's just like dive in and make it romantic. And if the few people that really want to hear this listen to it, then they're going to get something extra special. And actually, I had a couple of people call me, or they wrote me saying that they were so happy to have this information about the songs, because they hadn't heard, you know, some of the stories or some of the meanings behind them before. And I thought, oh, that's cool. Okay, so someone got something out of it. And ever since then, when there's an idea for a streaming concert, I'm taking a bit more seriously, at least while I still can. So I think if there's another one for Hörbar, I would definitely take you guys up on that. I wanted to get you to explain something. There's like this ongoing, I don't know if it's appropriate to say an ongoing joke, but there's kind of a joke, a pun, that a lot of bars do in Germany. So like bar is actually kind of a suffix to a word. So if you think like, that's, this basketball is sinkable, or this ship is sinkable. It's like the ubble, right? And then hua is like here. So it's kind of like hearable or like audible, right? And that's something that was so funny to me to think that so many places do this, but you must know a handful of bars that do this pun, right?
I've seen in many different cities in Germany, many different approaches to this joke, but not that many which are so great. But how about translate to, I guess, to audible?
Yeah, I guess, yeah, you wouldn't say hearable, but like, no. Yeah, I guess it's kind of,
Hero Audible. Roll.
Yeah, that's a cool one. I think that's really cool.
What have I don't know what I, what do I have anything else in mind? Not sure. Maybe I find some yeah. of the funniest.
Oh yeah. Yeah. You could do that. You know, I don't know if you watch Joe Rogan much, but sometimes when you Google things while we're talking, I imagine you like Jamie. Pull that up, Jamie. Dude, I love Joe Rogan memes. I love Joe Rogan memes. That he's so easy. Like, I like him a lot. He also is kind of insane. Sometimes says really stupid shit too, but his show is always very interesting. And I love how easy he is to make memes about. Because he has this, he says, you know, these like several things every show, like these almost like catchphrases. And I love when someone suggests something really insane. So he's really into, for those who for some reason have not heard his extremely famous show, he's really into conspiracy theories and hunting and cars and comedy, basically. And whenever there's a meme of like someone...
And MMA fights.
Yes, right. Yeah, he's a super successful MMA host or no, not referee. What do you call it? What do you call it when someone's like commentator? And
yeah,
he also, you know, like practices MMA stuff and jujitsu and whatever. Anyway, the point is, whenever there's a meme of someone like, there's a famous one of Elon Musk smoking the blunt, and you know, he can, you can throw out any prompt, like any like, did you know that blah 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 blah. And then I just love this. There's a perfect picture of Joe Rogan with the eyebrow up of interest. And it just always says like, pull that up, Jamie. I just love that. It's so simple. But if you don't know the show, then they don't get it. But should definitely.
By the way, I found some.
Oh, you did? Okay. Tell us.
I got furchtbar, which translates to horrible.
I thought furcht was like wet.
Nein, Furcht.
Ah.
Like fear.
Horrible.
Then there is a, then there is this, sichtbar. You know what that translates to?
Is that, not Gesicht, not face.
No.
And I get face and story mixed up, Gesicht and Geschicht, right? But it's neither of those.
No, it's sichtbar.
Sicht. I don't remember.
Sicht comes from sehen.
Oh, seeable?
Yeah, like visible, I guess.
Oh, visible, yes. Yeah, hearable, audible, seeable.
Seeable?
Visible. Well, I can see it and hear it, so it's seeable and hearable. If you see a bull and hear a bull, it's a bull.
Oh, no. And then there's one who has something to do with cows, I guess. And they have their menu, and it's called Kuh Linarisches.
Linarisches. I know it's like...
Do you get that one?
Oh, moo... Oh, culinary. So it's like culinary?
Yeah.
Oh, culinary. That's terrible.
Yeah.
Oh, that's terrible.
Oof. There are heavy ones.
I think that just took a year off my life.
And then there's the Wandelbar.
Like to hike?
Nee, Wandel.
Oh no, Wandel.
Like, I don't know. Changeable.
Oh. Well, this bar isn't great. That's okay. It's Wandelbar. It's changeable. Oh man. Oh my God, that's so bad. This reminds me. I was having dinner a few days ago. And people I was with, we got really into, did you ever get into yo mama jokes?
Of course. Everyone.
I hope you have a bunch, because one of my favorite ones is, yo mama is so dumb. She was putting lipstick on her forehead saying she's trying to make up her mind.
No, oof, oof, oof,
oof. I love that one. Or Your mom is so fat in school, she sat next to everybody.
But I get one like this. Let me. Okay, I think I can translate it. Your mom is so fat that she left the house in high heels and came back in flip-flops.
Your mom is so what? Say it again.
Your mom is so fat that she left the house in high heels and came back wearing flip-flops.
You came back in... Oh my god.
Your mama there, so poor.
There was like a whole,
your family what?
Oh, go ahead.
Your mama so poor. What? Your family ate cereal with a fork to save milk.
That's good. That's really good. Man, it only hit me like a few days ago that Chuck Norris jokes were so big that they came to Germany. I thought that was such a only an American thing.
Yeah, but they
did you get into Chuck Norris jokes?
Yeah, but I always thought it didn't work out that funny in German. But I guess most jokes don't work out that funny in German.
Yeah. I was gonna say, yeah, there's definitely like room for exception.
Yeah. Germany. But by the way.
Yeah.
Your mama's so old, I told her to act her own age and she died.
That's so stupid. That's so stupid. Fuck, man.
Your mama's so fat.
Dumb. I love it.
Your mama's so fat, when she sits on an iPod, it turns into an iPad.
Oh, that's terrible. That's really bad. That's a really bad one. Oh, my God. Oh.
Oof.
You know, there was like a whole TV show with Wilmer Valderrama, the guy who played... Oh man, what's this character's name on that 70s show? Fez. He played Fez on that 70s show. And he had there's like several seasons of it, I think. I think it's just called Yo Mama or Yo Mama Burns or something like that. And it's there was like this reality TV show, comedy show on MTV, I think, for a few years. And it was just like Wilmer Valderrama was just going into the street and getting kind of friends together or, you know, strangers or something, and just throwing out Yo Mama Burns back and forth. And you had like this crowd vote of like, oh, you know, to see who won. So, I mean, Americans will make a show about anything. And
yeah, even the podcast called Artsy Fartsy Immigrants.
Especially that. Did you see, did you see there's this...
I love the way your face changed when I said that.
I got excited. You got me very excited, Mr. Bachata. did you see this? I'm looking up the name now just so I don't get it wrong, but there is a show. Ah, Too Hot to Handle. Did you see this promoted on your Netflix?
I saw the trailers. And then I decided to never watch Netflix trailers again.
I thought you were going to say, then I decided to kill myself.
Would Dude, also be fitting. Yeah.
I'm not going to lie.
Did you watch it, actually?
This is an artsy fartsy exclusive. I watched 4 episodes of it.
What?
And I regret it so much, dude. I regret it so much because I thought at first that there's no way that this reality show is exactly what it seems. I thought, mm-hmm. okay, this is almost too dumb to pitch to a network, you know, to say, hey, there's 6 super sexy people and the pot of money will be all theirs if they don't kiss or have sex. Oh, how are they going to do it? I thought there's no way that this is the real plot of this reality show. And it is, man. It is. How fucking dumb am I to think it would be anything else than that? I put it on.
What did you expect?
I just thought, like, I thought, okay, they're pitching it with all these sexy people because that's what's going to get some dummies' attention, and there's going to be, like, something, some challenge that's, like, richer than that, or, like, there's going to be some obstacles that come into place. But there's not. It's just six hot people, and on, like, day one, they've been at this island for, like, 4 hours. There's already people kissing on this chair. Someone's, like, feeling someone else up on this bed, and I'm like, ew, first off, you're complete strangers, and this is, like, obviously faked for camera, and it's so, like, it makes me feel so bad for the human race because they're all really, really dumb people, and it's embarrassing, man. Like, the only thing I can be really thankful for is that it's not just Americans, that it's an international show of idiots. Unfortunately, there's no Germans because they know better. International Show of Idiots.
That's the title of this episode, by the
way. Yeah, we should. All right, that's it. International Show of Idiots. It just blows me away. Okay, all right. I'll paint the picture for you. You have this island, and the people start arriving, and for the first 20, they have like 12 hours upon arrival where anything could happen without any repercussions, but they don't know that. And it's also the first day, so you're expecting that they won't just all have some fucking orgy in the sand. So they, you know, they meet, and they're pretty upfront about the compliments to each other pretty much right off the bat. And it's really uncomfortable, and they're all in bikinis and swimming trunks for no reason. And I mean, they're not swimming. They're just, like, sitting on these sofas anyway. And then when the timer's up, then there's, like, these weird, like, little Alexa-looking mechanisms all over the house that, like, listen in and watch them and then chimes in occasionally and is like, Sandra, you're getting awful close, don't you think? You know, don't spoil the prize or whatever. And the thing is, they're not being what's it called? Oh my God, I've forgotten all of my words today. Celibate. They're not being celibate so that they individually can win $100,000 or whatever it is. The $100,000 is the pot. So if you had all six of these people and they were all celibate, then they would have to split that six ways, like, I think, after taxes. So there's really no point in this at all. And it's so dumb, dude. It's so dumb. And, like, one person gets all these, one person can't control themselves. It's like some Australian guy. And he's just, like, kissing her and, like, having sex with her and whatever. And he doesn't care, and they're losing all this money. And then this one guy quits. He's like, you know what? I can't do this. You know, you guys are all nice and stuff, but I'm out of here. And I thought he was the smartest one. He didn't do anything, and then he left. And I was like, this guy's great. And then when he left, they were like, but can they handle the two new arrivals? And they just brought another girl and guy. And it's just like, how was this the challenge? You just added more people. This isn't, there's less money now.
Oh, no.
It's so dumb. Anyway, that's my rant about Too Hot to Handle. Don't watch it. Don't watch it. It's worse than drinking like a liter of schnapps a day for a month. You're just losing brain cells. I felt so dumb. It's terrible, man.
We could make this a running joke. Drink schnapps at the beginning of every episode as long as Too Hot to Handle is still on Netflix.
Oh, man. Well, then we're going to be drinking this. We're going to be drinking for a long time. I really hope they don't make a season two. I hope they didn't have enough streams to make another season. It's unbelievable that they can make a show like this. It's crazy. It's crazy. Man. Have you watched or seen anything of value recently? Have you seen anything good that you'd like to share?
We've already talked about the MJ documentary, and after that, what did I watch? I guess not that. I mainly got back to reading within the last two or three weeks.
Oh, nice. What are you reading?
But I can recommend a book if you want to.
Yeah, tell us.
I gotta say it's been laying around in my room for a long time because I got it, I don't know, like 9 months ago. And I always thought, yeah, I'm gonna read this next, but then I always had some other things to read, and it was an eye catcher for me because I thought about my privileges, etc., for a long time after the whole George Floyd thing. And it's not that like I think I'm not one of the guys who realized in 2020 that we have a worldwide a problem with systematic racism, but it was another height of attention, etc. Anyways, and so I got back to this book because the author is called Michael Connelly, and he's been a police and crime reporter for the LA Times for a long time in the 80s and 90s.
Yeah.
And I and also during the whole Rodney King drama.
Oh, wow.
And this book is called Angel's Flight, which is the name of a I don't know the term in English. Like the Nebelhornbahn, Seilbahn, what do you call it?
Like the trolley, like the rail car that takes you up?
Yeah, kind of a rail car in LA, which to one district, it's been built early 20th century or whatever. And in this...
it's like a street car that takes you.
No, there. It's hanging on a rope.
Okay. Yeah, rail. Or like, I think it's rail car, but yeah, it doesn't matter. I know what you mean.
But the name of this thing is Angel's Flight, and in this rail car there has been a murder. I guess 5 or 6 years after the Rodney King drama, and a lawyer, a black lawyer who's been very successful, again in. On court against police brutality, etc., has been killed in this rail car, and it's written from the perspective of the cop who has to solve this and his struggles, because he has all his white colleagues around him that don't want this case
published,
found out about, yeah. Anything. Yeah, they have no interest in bringing out the truth, etc. And many gangs are already heated up because of this drama, and it has been this black lawyer and this whole conflict of the city, white cops versus black families, etc. And this whole dilemma of this one cop who's basically a pretty honest good guy, but has his own struggles and the struggles with his colleagues, etc., and has to solve this. And it's super catchy and super interesting, and I can totally recommend it. And it's because the author has been a police reporter for so long, it's pretty detailed, and it creates partly shocking and partly amazing pictures in your head. And I can totally recommend this book, Angel's Flight by Michael Connelly.
Dude, that sounds extremely interesting. That sounds extremely interesting and relevant, you know? It sounds really important to read that. I know, I was thinking about all this stuff that's going on, and I also thought it was kind of interesting how on Netflix, you can see what's really popular right now, like what's being streamed the most, and it's definitely... concurrent with all the social discourse going on. There's this amazing documentary. There's two amazing documentaries. If you haven't seen them, I really recommend it. One is called 13th, about the 13th Amendment, the abolishment of slavery. and how that's basically, that basically introduces how systemic racism became an issue because of how these loopholes in the laws forced people to see African Americans from the perspective as criminal, because there's this phrase, these phrases of like, you know, slavery is abolished except for in the cases of criminal, what do you call it when you, criminal imprisonment. So they, you know, of course, flip that perspective specifically onto them to arrest them more. And now there are more African Americans in American prison systems today, or at least in 2016 when this came out, than there were slaves, all slaves. And that's insane to me. That's unbelievable. So that's a really great documentary. Huh?
Insane, like you said.
Yeah, yeah. And there's another one that I have to finish. I want to finish it tonight if I can. I got about halfway through yesterday, called I Am Not Your Negro. And that one, yeah, title alone pretty much speaks for itself, but it's also very, very educational and very interesting to see, see how all this is kind of led up to today and how it's not surprising. One super interesting thing that I discovered today, and I have to give the credit because I'm one of those liberal whiteys who learns his news from satirical comedian types, but I watched the new John Oliver special on facial recognition. It just came out yesterday. And oh my God, man. there's this big company that is kind of taking over the facial recognition software, or it's just, you know, exploiting it for all it's worth. And it's very scary, and it's very, they're about to cross some pretty major legal lines because of how they phrase what they do. And
there was also a New York Times Daily podcast episode about this company?
I guess so.
I've listened to one.
I haven't listened to the Daily in a little while. I listened to it last week, but not like in the last.
But never mind. I thought it this is just the same company, but I also would have to look it up.
Yeah, we can figure it out later. But it could be. It really could be. It's a humongous company, and they are really sketchy, and they sell, you know, your face to the world basically on a big database. And the majority of people that use it are in law enforcement. And this is actually relevant to the marches happening right now, the peaceful protests, because what companies like this are allowing people to do is they're allowing people in law enforcement to gather images of people's faces who are in the peaceful protests, recognizing their face and seeing in a crowd of people who might have an outstanding warrant for any given reason. They could even have an outstanding warrant for the fucking parking ticket. And if they do, then that gives them the I wouldn't even say it gives them the right to arrest them, but it gives them the encouragement, or at least, or like a reason to go and arrest them out of the peaceful protest. And I think it's really, like, I hate to sound so cliche or like some sort of echo chamber, but it's really...
It's scary for me.
It's scary, and it's exactly like 1984, man. It's really like they are, like this, you know, you hear about this government watching you, and you know the whole NSA story, and I can't believe I always forget this guy's name. He's so important. The guy who's escaped living in exile in Russia, he was the American who exposed all the he exposed all the documents about the government watching us. Snowden, Edward Snowden. Jesus Christ, man. He's so important, and I always forget his name. But, you know, you hear stuff about what Snowden exposed, and, you know, of course you hear, you know, people running conspiracies left and right based on that information, but this is just, for me, because I'm always late to the game, it feels so real and so scary that this stuff is really happening now and we don't really have a chance to stop it or not. You know? it's really wild to know that that's a reality. And this guy, you know, this guy who runs the company, he's in these interviews saying that, you know, he doesn't want to work with companies like China or Russia or North Korea or Iran. And someone, this interviewer asks him a really interesting question. And he's like, well, are you still exposing all these strangers' faces for profit in countries where they, for example, view homosexuality as a crime? And then instead of just saying, no, of course not, we monitor that sort of thing, he just said, well, there's a lot of bidders on this kind of software and we have to take it one day at a time, which is so unsettling.
Pooh.
That means there's so many countries fighting for this ability for obvious wrongdoing, as far as I can tell, you know? It's really... Yeah, it's a really spooky time, man.
Really spooky. And I guess I have to call it here. But find it pretty cool that we have, I guess, within the last 10 minutes, I've brought together a lot of recommendations for our listeners, which they can fill their heads with until next week when we will record another episode.
Yeah, absolutely. I highly recommend. What was the name of the book one more time?
Angel's Flight by Michael Connelly.
And the two documentaries were I Am Not Your Negro and 13th, both of which are on Netflix. Mo, thank you very much for your time today. I'm sorry for being a little late.
Easy.
And for those who enjoyed today's show, please make sure to go to Spotify or Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to this show. Give us a good rating, review, or a comment, or please share it online, or even just tell a friend, because word of mouth still works pretty powerfully these days. Thanks a lot, guys, and we'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.
Look out, baby. The Saints are...
Artsy Fartsy Immigrants, ein Podcast von Jordan Prinz und Moritz Bartscheider, produziert für M94.5.